of this church. You are fully ingrained in what we're doing here at Oceans United. You're fully vested. I know these might just be numbers that we throw out there. But these numbers reflect your commitment. Our commitment as a body in terms of what we do, how much we give back to this harvest. Did you all know that we've, between you, me, all of us here in this church, we've sown back out. I'm not talking about things that have come in. These numbers reflect how much we've given out. How much we've sown back into this community, back into the harvest all around the world. Our sowing did not stop just around here. It would be a shame if we look at the harvest as a whole and we just stop right here in the backyard. When God has got a bountiful harvest beyond the backyard of where we are. We've sown over $28,000 back out so far from January all the way. Yes, yes. This is all you. This is all this church, this body. People ask us, how are we so blessed as a church? The answer is simple. We have a culture of generosity in this church. The blessing of God, just like what I read in Deuteronomy 28, it's coming and overtaking us. And there is no stopping. It's not just coming, trickling in a little drop at a time. It's coming in like a flood, overtaking everything that we do. So everything that you do give in this church, I just want to throw that out. Every tithe that comes in, we tithe off of that. So 10% of everything that comes in, we give back out. That's how we overflow. What we receive, we don't keep. Our cup is full, but yet, we are not satisfied with just giving back $28,000. We serve a much bigger God. We can give much, much more. It's like the more I release, the more it comes. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all about giving. And when you do give, you receive. The world's way of doing things is, let me keep. I need it. I need. It's mine. But the more we release in the kingdom of God, the more it comes back and overtake us. We are blessed in the city. We are blessed in the field. We are blessed in our coming. We are blessed in our going. We are blessed in our basket. We are blessed in our kneading bowls. We are blessed beyond measure because we give. That's the culture that we exemplify at Oceans United. It's all of what you guys are doing that enables us to do what we're doing now. So the word today is full, yet not satisfied. I know this, it's almost like a very abstract statement, right? Because if you're full, man, you're good. A lot of us are going to get full this Thanksgiving. In fact, we're going to get so full that we're going to need to take a little something called a NAP. We're going to need to do that. Because we're going to get so full and so happy that we're going to need to lay down and take a little nap. This statement alone if you just look at it by itself, it can be very negative. Almost indicative of something that is kind of like selfishness. How can you be full and then you not be satisfied? It can even lead to even you thinking about, maybe I'm greedy. 2 years ago, November 11, 2017, God asked me this question. Why settle for being full while satisfaction is just on the other side? When God spoke that word to me, I wrote it down. I had no idea what it really meant. And I'm like, this is a little too abstract. I don't fully get it. I wrote it down and I talked to Don about this. I'm like, what does that really mean? Why is God giving me this word? Why settle for being full while satisfaction is just on the other side? November 11th, 2017. I'm going to put this in a little bit of a context so that we know where God is going with this. In 2017, Oceans Church, I'm talking about Oceans Church prior to Oceans United, we were 2 years into this church plant. We had lows in terms of no one coming to church, no income, no nothing to actually show for. But in November 2017, we grew. We grew over the course of time, and now we were no longer just seven of us in a church. Seven is how many we have in our family, for those who don't know. Two of us and five kids. That was the size of the church for a long time. But in November 2017, we averaged 72 people in the church. We were at the Ottinger's building. We were full. We were always full. We were so full that people would actually come and find, there was no chairs. We couldn't even afford chairs. We had people come and sit on the floor throughout the service. The Barnes, they would come in, they had their own corner. On the floor, because they didn't want to take up seats, you know. So they put their family on this side. I remember they were on the left-hand side. And we had other people on this side, close by the coffee. We had a little coffee, a little Keurig going on. Sometimes the Keurig, you know, will go off in the middle of service because somebody wanted to get a coffee. And while I'm speaking, you could hear the brewing of the coffee on one side. And that was it. Guess what? We were full. But yet again, God was challenging us to something that we've never experienced before. And I remember driving down the road and Don and I were having conversation about being full. And I remember telling Don this. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know what God is doing, but I remember the days when I was preaching to empty chairs. But just maybe now God is saying, this is it. I mean, the church has grown. You're full. Maybe 70 might be it. That could be. And there's nothing wrong if there's a church that has 30 members. I'm not comparing numbers here. This is something different. This was a challenge that God was putting on my life to believe for something greater. And I remember the words that I heard Don said was like, no. God is not calling us to settle for just this. I believe there is much, much more to what God wants to do in our lives. So why settle for just being full when satisfaction is just on the other side? I'm so glad that we had this conversation, and it challenged me. Because in my mind, this was it. I could be happy just the way things were. Because after all, what is so wrong with being full? What is so wrong for being full? I'm happy I'm full. It means that I have no lack, right? It means that I've got everything that I need to do. Maybe X, Y, and Z. The things that I know in the natural that I can do, maybe that's all there is to it. Maybe that's the limit. Maybe that's the ceiling. Maybe we should just stop and be content with being full. But the word that God kept speaking and speaking over and over and over again was, why settle for just being full when satisfaction is just on the other side? I remember writing this down after the revelation came. Being full can be self-gratifying. I mean, we live in a culture that thrives on being full. What I mean by this is, like, we live in a culture, we serve a generation that what we want, we get. Anything that we want information, it's quickly accessible. We want something now, we can get it now. We live in this microwave culture where we can stick something in and pull out a meal instantly. Within minutes, we can have something and be full. It is self-gratifying being full, because being full is all about self. It's all about me being full. Self-gratifying, self-indulging, even numbing to the point where all you can think of is just yourself. Serve me. Serve me. Feed me. Pour into me. Pray for me. Lead me. Teach me. It's so self-gratifying that we can go into this place where it's just us four and no more. But satisfaction on the other side, being satisfied, it goes into an area called overflow. Yes, you are full. But you're not satisfied with just being full. You want to reach beyond your borders. Those ceilings that we tend to place on ourselves, on our walk with God, on our relationship, on our growth, on our belief for what God wants to do in our life. We want to leave those ceilings there and not go beyond and think about all that we have is just ours. But when we go into this area called overflowing satisfaction, we stop thinking about just ourselves. Now we start thinking about the harvest. We start thinking about others. We start thinking about, let me pray for that person. Let me go lead something. Let me go serve instead of being served. See, Jesus came. He came as a servant. He came to serve. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about God Himself who came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. I believe Jesus got to the place where he was full. He was full by just doing what God called him to do. But yet, he was not just satisfied with being full just for himself. He sought people out. He gave out of himself. He preached. He reached out beyond his natural borders. Being satisfied gets us into this area where sometimes we might shy away from. You know why? Because that area called the overflow gets us out of something that we hold dear, that we never want to let go. It's called comfort zone. Things that we are familiar with, things that we know, things that we expect to happen. Like clockwork. And we leave no room for God to maneuver, to challenge, to expand our thinking, to take us to a new level in terms of what we can do and how much we need God to intervene, because it shows that we cannot do it in our own strength. Could it be those limitations that we place on our own life, in our giving, in our serving, because we see us just within this? These borders that we've placed on ourselves, that if I do get into an area where I am a little uncomfortable, what if it exposes my weaknesses? What if it does expose some of the things that I don't know? What if I get challenged? What if I don't respond well to authority? And that gets exposed in my area where I do serve. What if I get challenged in an area where I can't follow instruction and I get exposed in those areas? So when what we do is that we tend to build those walls, those limitations around us, to keep us safe. But that area of safety is a false sense of safety. Because the enemy, all he wants to do is just to keep us there. Because we cannot fully walk into our divine calling and purpose the more we allow ourselves to stay full. But within those guarded walls that we place on our own lives, that I can only do so much. If I step on the other side, I get exposed. Everybody would see me for my weaknesses. So in 2017, when the challenge came from God to step outside of those boundaries of my comfort, I was challenged. Because if I do step out of this boundary, guess what? If I fail, everybody knows. What was comfortable in those little, in that little space, even though people were sitting down on the floor, but it was still very comfortable for me. Even for me. Even for me as the pastor. Even for me as the leader, even for me as the one who needs to be driving the vision forward, you can easily get to the place where you are so comfortable that you don't want to be exposed. In case somebody sees you as a human being. God forsake us, that they know that we are human, that we have fear, we have doubts, and believe me, they all came from every direction that you can think of. Because there's a level of exposure that the enemy kind of don't want you to have. There's a level of vulnerability that if you step out and be vulnerable, you might just make it. You might just make it. And there's that fear in the enemy's camp that want to keep you contained and say, don't step out. If you do step out and you do make it, it's a hit unto the kingdom of darkness. So the enemy wants to contain and contain and contain even more. But when you do step out, you're not stepping out on your own authority. You're stepping out because you're making a turn and responding to the voice of God. And when you respond to His voice, guess what follows you? His blessings, His calling. You shall be blessed in the field. You shall be blessed in the country. You shall be blessed going in and blessed going out. So the enemy wants to stop that flow happening. So the best way to stop the flow from happening in your life, where the blessing of God comes and overtakes you, is to be contained, to be full and content with just being full. That's the biggest danger. I'm very passionate, as you can tell, about this. Because I want to see each and every one of you excel in the areas that God has called you. I don't care how you call that area. As long as He's called you, you follow. It doesn't matter if you've never done it before. I'll let you in on a little secret on me. I have never planted a church before. I've never pastored a church before. But God called. I responded by making a turn towards Him. He came. He met me. And He said, you follow, and I'll make sure that everything that you need of will chase you, will overflow you, will overtake you. You will not lack any good thing, because I'm making a way where you think there is no way. So it's time, church, to step over. Amen. To step over into this place that challenges you. If you're broken, that's going to free a lot of you this morning. Get help. If you're broken, get help. Don't stay broken. The worst thing is this in the body of Christ. We've taken brokenness and we've placed brokenness into a place that has boundaries, that has limits, that says this: stay broken. As long as nobody knows you're broken, you're good. Let me love you through your brokenness. Love is not gonna fix brokenness. Step into the area where you're going to receive help from above. It might get you exposed. It might show your weaknesses. It might show the areas that you need the most help in. But if you stay contained, you will be contained forever. You will not break loose of this brokenness that you might be enduring for a long period of time. And you're wondering after so many years, why are we still broken? The church has cuddled with love. So much brokenness. For a period of time, those that are broken feels that I'm comfortable being broken. Nobody knows. Nobody knows and nobody needs to know. Let me keep my brokenness to myself. And guess what? Brokenness is contagious. If you find one broken people, usually they congregate with other broken people. It's all about that safety. It's all about this barrier that we place ourselves in. As long as nobody knows, we're good. But to get fixed, you're going to need to be challenged. There's no other way. Amen. I wish there was another way. I wish I can give you a better feel good word this morning. But I want to set you free. Because this is why Jesus came. To heal the broken heart. Because broken heart keeps people captive. To set the captives free. That's why Jesus came. So don't be satisfied with just being content with full. Allow me to give you an illustration for this. I've got an illustration, a map of Israel. Could you guys pull that up? On top, you see it's the Sea of Galilee, and the bottom is the Dead Sea. The Jordan River feeds both of them. The Jordan on top feeds the Sea of Galilee and then flows all the way down to the Dead Sea. So the Jordan River feeds both of them. The Sea of Galilee, on one hand, is filled with life. It flourishes with life. There's fish, there's trees, there's life, there's children playing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. There's life there. But the same water that comes down from the Jordan fills the Sea of Galilee, then flows out of the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea is quite the opposite. There is no life. There is no living things out there. One might ask, what is so different between them two? Is it not the same river that comes in and fills both of them? Are they not always full? Are they not always full? The difference here is this. The Sea of Galilee recedes from the Jordan, but it does not keep anything. It does not keep anything. It flows back out to the Jordan. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, recedes from the Jordan. But hear this, it keeps everything that comes in. Nothing goes out from the Dead Sea. They are both full, but only one is satisfied. They're both full. They're always full. There's always water because the Jordan River doesn't stop flowing. It doesn't stop. It keeps bringing the water in to the Sea of Galilee. And the same water that the Jordan brings, also it brings it to the Dead Sea. But one gives everything that comes in, and the other one keeps everything that comes in. So the question for you this morning is this: what sea? What sea will best describe you? Is it the one that is contained, that doesn't want anything coming in, doesn't want to let out, just in case if it gets it out of its comfort zone? Or are you the other one that is exposed to everything, that is an open book? Here are my strengths, and here are my weaknesses. Here's what I do well, and here's what I don't. Here's the thing that God has worked and I've overcome over the years. And I know I've been hiding this for a while, but here are my brokenness. Here's everything that I do struggle with, that I don't know how to cope. But Jesus, would you help me to step outside of that box? To step outside of that place where I call comfort. So here's the secret, my friends. The secret of getting out. Of just being full. Because if you're full for a long time, I mean a long time, a long, long time, you will eventually die. You will eventually die if you keep everything in. If all you do is just receive and you don't give out of yourself, you might be full, but you'll never be satisfied. So the secret is this. Satisfaction comes. It only comes when it flows out of you. In giving, in serving, in every aspect of your life, concerning everything that you're dealing with as a Christian, the more you open, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and bring healing in places that you've locked and you've thrown away the key, that you don't want anybody coming in. But the more you open, the more you allow the overflow of the Holy Spirit to come in. The secret is to be generous in giving. Generous in giving. Generous in serving. This is not a message that at the end of this message I'm going to pass a special offering bucket. Okay? So just cool it for a little bit. I'm not doing that. There's no pressure. There's nothing. In fact, if you're new here, you notice that we never pass the offering plate or bucket or whatever it is. The offering is in the back and we let the Holy Spirit do the work. We talk to you about it. We tell you how important it is to give, just like I'm telling you now, but I'll never do it unless it's a necessary thing that we are doing a special offering for, a special gift, or something that we feel that the Holy Spirit, but it's always Holy Spirit led. It's never for pressure for you to give. Yes, it takes finances to run this church, by the way, just in case you didn't know this. You know, everything, it takes money. But you know what? I would take over finances. It's you. Because if I have you serving and occupying the place where God has called you to occupy in this body, it makes the ministry works. The bill, that's his will. I'm not concerned with that. I've never been, and I'm not about to start now. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. He'll take care of everything that we need, above and beyond, because that's his promise. He'll come and overtake us, right? So be generous. That's the only way you break out of that mold where you're just full. The Sea of Galilee is very generous. It gives out everything that comes in. It's not keeping anything. The purpose of a sea is life. And it has it because it gives. The purpose of us being here is life in Christ, which he gave so that we might have this life, not just trickling in, but abundant life. And the only way we can enjoy this abundant life is by opening up and say, Jesus, everything that I have is already yours. The job that I have, you provided. You are my source. You are my source. You provide everything that I need of my responsibilities to make sure that I just don't keep and keep and keep. As we are about to wrap this up, I'm going to give you a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 8. It says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need. You will be full. And plenty left over to share with others. Satisfaction. See, you're guaranteed to be full no matter what. The satisfaction comes when you release. I want you to hear this. You're guaranteed to be full. So don't worry about being full. You're guaranteed to be full. You're guaranteed to have more than what you need. Because the word says that. It says, then, after you've given generously, you're not hoarding things into your life. You will be full. You'll have everything you need. But don't just stop there. Because the other part of this is like, you will have plenty left over. So that you can share with others. That's the satisfaction. That's you leaving the comfort of just being plenty and full. You're going into the area where you're overflowing now. Because you didn't settle for just being full. The generosity that we display in this body, in this church, we're creating this culture of contagious generosity. What I mean by that is people are looking forward for opportunities to give. That's you guys. I have never expressed a need for anything in this church that somebody didn't say, hey, can I be part of it? Can I do something about it? Not too long ago, we were talking about, hey, we need to upgrade our equipment. I'll just give you one example out of thousands of examples that I can give. I brought up to the church there was a need for better equipment for live stream and everything else. I just mentioned it. I said, this is what we need of. That same day, somebody just approached me and said, hey, what can I do? I want to do this. By the end of the week, we had more than enough to cover everything that we need. We've some left over that I'm waiting on our worship leader to tell us, what else do we need? We're not holding back. I'm hoping somebody who has the knowledge and say, we need this. Then we can bring it to Father God and say, God, this is what we need. This is what we need. At that point, we take the limit off of what God can do, because it was His to start with. That's the way it is. That's contagious generosity. That is what Jesus did. That is what the Father did when He sent His Son. In Romans 8:32, it says this. He did not spare even His own Son. He did not spare Him. He sent His Son. He could have spared His Son, but He did not. He gave up His Son for us all. And I love this second part of that verse in 8:32. Because it's a challenging one. It says this, won't He also give us everything else? If He gave His Son, He did not spare Him for all of us. Don't you think that He's going to give us everything else that we need? Absolutely. God wants us to step over to this other side called overflowing satisfaction. As you've been served, I want you to stand. I want you to reflect on the generosity of our God in your own life. You have your own story. I told you mine. It came with a challenge, but that was my story. I am sure you've got many stories that can validate in your life how generous God is. Was there ever a need in your life that you brought to the throne of grace that God did not meet? Think about it for a moment. Are you breathing this morning? Do you have life this morning? Don't you serve a generous God that gave you an extra day this morning? An extra hour. Hallelujah for extra hour. God wants to challenge us, not just to be full, but to be satisfied in Him. So as you take the bread and eat, would you take and eat? Would you be satisfied with the sacrifice He made for you. That's beyond being full. It's satisfaction in what Jesus did as the ultimate sacrifice for you, so that you can have eternal life. Because without this sacrifice, there is no eternal life. As you take the cup and drink, would you be satisfied with the overflowing life that flows from Him? I want you to do, to take just a few minutes to do a little introspection. This is where you look a little bit within. And that voice that we talked about earlier might be challenging you. Might be pushing you a little bit beyond yourself, your comfort areas, your comfort zones. It might be telling you to do something that you've never done before. I'm asking you, would you listen to this voice inside of you? It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't tune Him out. That voice kept following you throughout the week, kept speaking words of what to do and what to change and how to fix the brokenness that we talked about. Would you step into this area where you may receive divine help from Him? Divine help from up above. Would you not settle for just being full this morning and say, Jesus, I want to be satisfied in You. Father God, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the challenge that You've placed over this body to not quit, to not stop believing for the impossible. Lord, we accept the challenge. Have Your way. Throughout this week, I pray that each and every one of us, including me, that I will be challenged. We all are going to be challenged in a specific area of our lives that we need to place at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, it's all You or nothing. You do it. You fix it. Because I can't. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, for this word. As we go, we listen and we heed to Your voice and Your voice alone, Lord God. We thank You. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon each and every one of us here. We go and walk in Your favor, in Your grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen, church. God bless you.